I want you to remember the Lord said to examine the lamb this week. Examine the lamb. Why? Because he's perfect. Before we go to the message, I just want you to bow your heads because I want to give you a word to confirm what you just did on your hands a few moments ago. Say, Father, give me ears to hear. Eyes to see. What your Spirit is saying to me. It's Psalms number 26. And I want to press verse 6. I wash my hands in innocence. Vindicate me, O Lord, verse 1, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for your love is ever before me. And I walk continually in your truth, and I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence. And go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. But I lead a blameless life. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great assembly will I praise the Lord. I want you to discern one thing. Was the lifestyle of King David what this word declares?
No.
No. King David had a couple of affairs. He had a few women here and there. He had all kinds of problems with his family, blah, blah, blah. But notice he says, I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Verse 2, test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. I do not sit in deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites, etc., etc. I wash my hands in innocence.
Those things in
earnest, they are. Yeah. Mark 11:24. Believing you have received, it will be done unto you. When you start declaring your victory.
Come on.
And you decide that his righteousness has already been provided. By faith. You're no longer going to start crying out for all your silly sins that he's already took and buried under the blood. So your mouth should be like King David because you have a better covenant. Verse 11, but I lead a blameless life. Redeem me and be merciful to me. I lead a what?
Blameless life.
How about it? Try it on for size. Just close your eyes for a moment. Say, I lead a blameless life.
I lead a blameless life.
Now, how many of you had some twirling going on inside your tummy?
Amen.
Why? Because it says, that's a lie. Look at all the failures you've done. Look at all the failures you've made. Look at all the mistakes you've done. All the sins you've committed. And you start what? Oh, getting the poor me's. Say, today, I'm going to follow the example of what God said through King David.
God said through King David,
I lead a blameless life.
I lead a blameless life.
The Redeemer has already redeemed me.
Has already redeemed.
It's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Tell your neighbor, welcome to the family. You see how perfect I am? You're all going to have big heads, no problem. He'll give you a big crown. What am I saying? I'm saying that you can live above your circumstances. And you can live a new life in Christ. Yeah. I think we've already worn that one down. Don't go any further now. I want you to come to Isaiah 14, which is what he gave me for the day. He had given me the psalm, but it was because of the hand washing that I wanted to go there. Isaiah 14. I believe Isaiah 14 is prophetic for the season that Israel is in right at this moment. I believe it's prophetic about the blood moons that are being prepared for the next 2 years, actually. And we're going to start at verse 1. This is not a new message. This is an old message that I believe we can take a little bit higher than the last time you looked at it. Verse 1, the Lord will have compassion on Jacob. Once again, he will choose Israel and will settle them in their own lands. Aliens will join them and unite with the house of Jacob. Aliens. Who are aliens? Non-Jews. Nations will take them and bring them to their own place. And the house of Israel will possess the nations. You better really look at that verse, because some people think it's the other way around. The house of Israel will possess the nations as men servants and maid servants in the Lord's land. In whose land? The Lord's land. They will make captives of their captors. That's the future of the enemy. And rule over their oppressors. You've had an example in 1948. They said it'd never be done. You had another example in 1967. They said Jerusalem would never be the capital. Guess what? It's all history. Verse 3. On the days the Lord gives you relief from suffering and turmoil and cruel bondage, you will take up their taunts against the king of confusion. You say you changed the word. Yes. Babylon is the king of confusion. How many of you walk around constantly giving homage to confusion? Sometimes you need to declare how innocent you are because of what Jesus had already done. How the oppressor has come to an end. How his fury has ended. The Lord has broken the rod of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers, which in anger struck down people with unceasing blows, and in fury subdued nations with relentless aggression. All the lands are at rest and at peace. They break into singing. Even the pine trees and the cedars of Lebanon exult over you and say, now that you have been laid low, no woodsman comes to cut us down. The grave below is all astir to meet you at your coming. It rouses the spirits of the departed to greet you. Isn't that incredible, Jessica? The spirits of the departed come to what? Greet you. I wonder why that dream came this week, huh? It's all your mother's fault. You know, the Word of God is alive and true, and it separates yours and my little skinny brain. And I say that, it's in total respect, because Our minds is usually in the control room. And when we listen to it, we fail miserably. I should have heard an amen.
Amen.
Our spirit man has been laying dormant, and it's not doing what it should be doing sometimes because we listen too much to the mind and the will and the emotions.
Amen.
So the place where we need to change it is by getting God's opinion. And his opinion is that he loves you. He's not throwing the towel in because you made a boo-boo. He's trying to get you to declare how awesome he is and how awesome your life is. You say, well, if you had any idea what it's like to live in my skin, I have some skin of my own.
Amen.
And it's not always comfy. But I've learned to declare what God says about me instead of what some people would like to make me declare. Close your eyes for a moment. Say Mark 11:24.
Mark 11:24.
Is a promise that's been given. Believing I have received. It will be done unto me. Oh, how ugly this life is. Oh, yeah, you're repeating that?
No.
I tricked you. Yeah.
Good sheeple.
Hmm? How ugly this life is. You know, people call you on the phone. Oh, I'm having a horrible week. And you say, oh, poor you, I'm having one too. Mm-hmm. Get off the phone. You might get a better, what?
Perspective.
Better perspective and maybe a better confession and a better agreement. Somebody called me this week and they started to give me all their failures. And I said, I don't agree. Well, what kind of a pastor are you? I will not agree. This is coming from darkness and I will not confess what you have just said to me because it's a lie from hell. The blood of Jesus has already set you free. Why aren't you declaring your freedom? Oh, well, if you knew what I was going through. I've been there. How long did it last? It's not important. Why isn't it important? Because if you look at what God is doing through the midst of your test, you won't be so deceived into confessing how ugly life is. He's trying to get you to have the mind of Christ instead of the mind of the brain. The mind of the emotions, the mind of the will. Verse 9, the grave below is all astir to meet you at your coming. It rouses the spirits of the departed to greet you. All those who were leaders in the world, it makes them rise from their thrones. All those who were kings over the nations, they will all respond. They will say to you, you also have become weak as we are. You have become like us. All your pomp has been brought down to the grave. Along with the noise of your harps, maggots are spread out beneath you, and worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. Who is he talking about?
Devil.
You just might get a readjustment. It could be the man, Adam. And when you follow in the footsteps of Adam, what have you got? Death in front of you? And bugs crawling on you? Because you've lost your position. You have been cast down to the earth. You once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven and I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Yes, Satan could be that, but also Adam. Because Adam listened. And then he obeyed. So that could be a new prong in how you focus on this particular scripture. The Adamic nature is full of death. The mind, will, and emotions of man, when they're under the anointing of flesh, are loaded with what? How can I get out of here? If I could only die and get it over with. I don't want to live anymore. Tell me where that comes from. Is that from the Lord?
No.
The Lord is the resurrection and he's life. I have sat under that anointing. I've had to tell people, you are not in a covenant with death. Death is not your friend. Romans 2:7. I'm not going to quote it. I'm going to let you hunt for it. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Had Adam ever tasted the pit? No. Wasn't the temptation from the snake to Eve, if you eat, you will become like
the Most High?
See the double prongs? See the double meaning? Adam agreed with the snake. Yes? Was he deceived?
No.
No, he wasn't. He knew full well what he chose. His wife was deceived. That's clear in Genesis. But Adam knew full well that he wanted to be like God. That's why he took what he took. So you see, there's a double meaning here. And what I'm trying to tell you is, King David saw through the darkness with a very low quality covenant. What about you and me? We have a better covenant. We have a covenant of life and resurrection. That's what we're going to be celebrating this week. Why? Because Jesus came out of the grave. Amen? 16. Those who see you stare at you, they ponder your fate. Is this the man who shook the earth and made kingdoms tremble? Let's be honest. Is that verse speaking about Satan as a man, or is it speaking about Adam as the first man? Verse 17, the man who made the world a desert, who overthrew its cities and would not let this captive go home. All the kings of the nations lie in state, each in his own tomb. But you are cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch. You are covered with the slain and with those pierced by the sword, those who descend to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trampled underfoot. You will not join them in burial, for you have destroyed your land and killed your people. The offspring of the wicked, you will never be mentioned again. Prepare a place to slaughter his sons for the sins of their forefathers. They are not to rise to inherit the land and cover the earth with their cities. I will rise up against them, declares the Lord Almighty. I will cut off from confusion her name and survivors. Notice I changed the word there. I will cut off from confusion her name and survivors, her offspring and descendants, declares the Lord. I will turn her into a place for owls and into swampland. I will sweep her with the broom of destruction, declares the Lord Almighty. And it goes on. My prayer is that you will come out from where you were living and start declaring your freedom. Start declaring how awesome you are. You are not like the first Adam. You may have some similitudes and similar weaknesses, but you are in Christ. You are in the Anointed One. That's where you're living. Amen? If you are in Christ and in Adam, are you schizophrenic? Sometimes you are. Sometimes I am. How many sometimes feel, oh my God, am I going to make it? See, the feelings are going to tell you something. But the Spirit of God is clear. Declare today who you are in Christ. Declare how free you are. Declare that this Passover will change what you are and who you've been into what He's preparing you to become. Amen? Close your eyes. If you've got a neighbor close by, take their hand. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
I'm believing
that this week,
you're going to start giving me words
and instructions.
And I will speak those words
full of life.
And no more shame.
No more
self-condemnation.
Because
Jesus paid the price. I am the Spirit of life.
It's
fully alive in me.
His
name is Jesus Christ. My Messiah. Hallelujah. And Lord, pray for this food. Make it holy to our bodies. We're not missing out today. Great fellowship for the Lord's glory. Amen.